Welcome into the Roto World Basketball Show. Rafael Johnson of NBC Sports and Dan Titus of Yahoo Sports. Join myself, Von Delzon. I'm wishing you all happy holidays and hope you all enjoyed your Christmas that was filled with some intriguing matchups in the NBA, to say the least. Rafael's Knicks got the win, breaking the slump against the Bucks, 9 straight losses. And Dan's team, the Sixers, sadly did not have Joel Embiid, who we wanted to see. He got the victory. The hat turns back. And for me, guys, I was on the couch wearing a Juventus hat because the Bulls were also on their couches for Christmas, because we all deserve coal in this household, apparently. Rafael, you had a pretty good gift, though, for the Knicks. But was that your favorite gift for Christmas?
Yeah, pretty much. I got an assault bike like in early December. So that's been fun. But yeah, the Knicks victory is always good to get. As you mentioned, 9 straight losses to the Bucks, so that streak's over. Got one more game against Milwaukee this season. It's always fun to play an elite team 5 times in the same year, but nobody else has to do it. But, you know, yeah.
Somebody's got to do it. That's going to be a good game. I'd like to see the Knicks start getting a winning streak against the Bucks. Turn the tables on the boys. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a pretty neat thing. Dan, what was your favorite gift? Because we know it wasn't the Sixers.
I definitely feel better than the Detroit Pistons right now. So I guess that there's that. 27 straight. We have a new record. But the holiday was good. I think my favorite game was obviously the nightcap with Luka going for 50. He just looked outstanding, man. And second person to drop 50 points and 15 assists in a game. So, yeah, I think that pretty much took the cake for me. Sixers, yeah, I think that was just a letdown spot. Outlier. Joel Embiid's going to be missing Wednesday's game. So, I think it's just time for Embiid to start missing a couple of games. I don't think he's ducking everybody, but I think that it's, you know, much needed rest for a guy that's been playing outstanding in December.
Yeah, nuclear is a word I would use to describe Joel Embiid's December. Well over 40 points per game, and he was going off against everybody. Yeah, mind you, they weren't great teams he played for the most part. He still did what he had to, and the Sixers looked amazing. But we'll cover a lot of that. We can start with Philadelphia for a second, if you guys don't mind. And my favorite part of Christmas, by the way, thanks for asking both you guys, was spending it with my family. First time I got to see my mom, grandma, and all them in 3 years on Christmas. So that was pretty cool for me. Yeah. Ate a lot of cookies and a lot of hot chocolate. All right. Sticking in Philly, Joel Embiid missed, like we said. He's also out Wednesday. They lost by 6 to the Heat, but Tyrese Maxey. That's what I want to talk about, Dan. 12 points on 1 of 8 shooting, 1 of 8 from 3. He had 4 fouls, 44 minutes. Obviously, didn't look like the number one without Embiid. Is that an outlier to you? And what do you make of the fantasy options now with Embiid's injury?
I think as an outlier, I'm not overly concerned about Maxey having a bad game. I mean, going up against the Miami team that's notoriously scrappy, Jimmy Butler didn't play in that game. But I mean, the Jaime Jaquez experience is something to watch, man. This dude continues to climb up that rookie ladder. I think that was probably my biggest takeaway of that game, is that he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. And, you know, I think for Maxey, I think it's more about the supporting cast that kind of held it down for him. So Tobias Harris had his best game in a while. Kelly Oubre played well too. The Sixers are still reportedly in the market for another wing, so we'll see what comes of that. But I think that bad game was just the result of Joel Embiid not playing. So the fact that he's not playing on Wednesday, I think maybe in deeper leagues, you could probably look to add someone like Mo Bamba. He played better than Paul Reed. I don't know that I would add him personally, but I mean, if you're going that deep, you definitely have an option there. But I think it's really going to be Kelly Oubre that I'm expecting to step up here. And, you know, he's well over 60% rostered. So, you know, you might be able to find him in a shallow league or something, but I wouldn't go run into the waiver wires. I think there's better streaming options for a lot of the players that have been ruled out just today. Over the last couple of days, it seems like a lot of bodies are falling. So I would look elsewhere for streaming purposes.
Don't get me started on Mo Bamba, the future Chicago Bull.
We talked about that a while ago. You want him to get into the rotation. Now look what happens.
I'm going to backtrack on a couple of statements from weeks ago today, boys, and we're gonna see how they are. But Jaime Jaquez, 31 points, 10 rebounds, Rafael. He looked good. We already knew he's really getting comfortable with Miami Heat. What'd you make of that game?
Yeah, I think that was my biggest takeaway is just how well Jaquez has played. Now, they lost Caleb Martin during the first quarter with a sprained ankle, and he's doubtful for their next game. I believe they're in action tonight, if I'm not mistaken. Actually, Thursday against the Warriors, they start a road trip out there. So even if you get Jimmy Butler back for that one, and I'm not sure they will, no Caleb Martin, I think that really boosts Jaime Jaquez even more in terms of a more reliable fantasy option. And as you said, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So, yeah, I think Jaime Jaquez, his play has been the biggest takeaway for me from that one. Duncan Robinson continues to play well. So that's something else to keep an eye on. Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo. What more can you really say about them that really needs to be said at this point? So, yeah, I think Jaquez be my biggest takeaway from that game.
Yeah, the only thing to add about Tyler Hero is I needed 8 points in the fourth quarter, bro. Come on, man. Make that Christmas special. But, yeah, he had a great game with 22 points as well. I parlayed Jalen Brunson and Tyler Hero, 30 points each. And Brunson was a snow sweat. But, you know, him playing in front of his dad on Christmas, warming up, a little heartfelt story. He was going to drop buckets, Rafael. You already knew that. Yeah. I like both the takeaways there. Let's head out west. Let's go to L.A. and talk about the Lakers. You know, calling him Point LeBron. Vanderbilt was starting. D'Angelo Russell's coming off the bench now. He had 8 points and six assists first Boston. About time, Dan says. 35 combined minutes last two games. Sounds like they're pretty tired of the D'Lo experience as a starter, Dan. So what are we doing now in fantasy? Is this the right move? Obviously, you think so.
Yeah, I think at this point, I don't know that I'm going to drop him, but he's getting towards that territory, mainly because I don't think he's going to return unless there's an injury to the starting lineup. He was already trending inconsistently throughout the last like month. And I think that there's going to be more reports with the Lakers losing five of their last six since the in-season tournament. I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be some chatter about, you know, potentially making some moves. Maybe your boy Zach LaVine fishes his wish and kind of gets to LA. I don't know. But yeah, I think the D'Lo experience is definitely going to be over. LeBron's going to take over as point guard. Let's see if they can start getting some wins because something needs to change. And I think I'd be concerned long-term about the Lakers' reliance on Anthony Davis needing to put up 40 points and 10 rebounds. Like, that's not going to be sustainable. So I think they're just looking for answers wherever they can find them at this point. And Austin Reeves is probably looking good right now. His minutes are safe. I don't know that I would pick up Jared Vanderbilt or Cam Reddish right now. I think the real person that you could add and stream right now is probably Torian Prince. His minutes are solid. He's providing a nice boost for threes, steals, low end rebounds, but he's definitely scoring. So I think he's become a trusted member of that rotation. But D'Lo, I'm worried.
Yeah, certainly worried. If you mentioned maybe Chicago Bull, if LaVine ends up there, that sounds like the Lonzo Ball experience all over again. It's about the closest thing you can get to Lonzo Ball from two, three seasons ago is D'Angelo Russell. Rafael, what do you make of the Lakers? Oh, no. Your eyes got big.
Lonzo got better than D'Lo.
That's borderline slander, man.
Lonzo hasn't touched a court in, what, 2.5 years?
I get the injury factor, but he's a lot more willing to share the basketball and not take my turn shots than D'Lo.
Yeah.
So that's why my eyes
D'Lo, the rhythm killer.
Yeah, that's why my eyes got a bit wide there. But I think in the short term, I don't believe that this starting five is the final form that the Lakers are going to be able to go with, because you now have two non-shooters in the starting five between Vanderbilt and Reddish. In my opinion, Austin Reeves needs to be a starter. I'm not sure which one of those two he replaces, but he needs to be a starter because he's an effective shooter. He's shown the ability to play off of LeBron as well as make plays for other people off the bounce himself. So his minutes have held steady, like Dan said. I think you're fine there, but I really would like to see him moving to the starting lineup because both teams have struggled that reached the in-season tournament final. They've struggled mightily since then. I don't know if that's the reason why, but they both have some rotation concerns to address that they're attempting to address. But I think for the Lakers, barring what happens at the trade deadline, they really need to make – I think they really need to move Reeves into starting five because look how deep the West is. You can go from like fourth or fifth all the way to out of the play-in spots in a couple weeks. So I really think given their struggles, they have to entertain that idea pretty soon here.
Are you dropping Russell?
In shallow leagues, yes. You know, standards, I would probably hold on for a little bit while longer to see what happens there. I don't know if you can get much in a trade. Probably, you're probably looking at like a late round return. But even that, if it's someone that you know can get consistently get 25, 28 minutes per game, I think you have to entertain that possibility as well.
Mm-hmm. So I want to mention too about Cam Reddish. I thought he was going to be a little more consistent of a shooter for the Lakers this season. But from deep, he's 1 of 7 in his last 8, and he's 4 of 19 in his last 23 three-pointers. So, yeah, I don't really like that number for them either in that offensive matchup. But a guy that can get his own buckets is Luka Doncic. As Dan mentioned, dropped 50 points on Christmas, near triple-double. And, Rafael, my last statement might have been wild, but is this one wild that the Mavericks own the Suns?
No. It just seems like they didn't take their heart this time around like they did in that game 7, but they had no answers. I felt like they were going to have a chance to win it. They pulled within like 4, I think, and they just didn't seem up to it. Outside of Chimezie Metu, no, that was just that man had the game of his. He had the game of his life, and you know, Booker and Durant struggled. Durant, I don't buy into these social media rumors about him being disengaged and wanting out, but I don't know. This goes beyond Bradley Beal being hurt and the other injuries. They're in serious trouble. I think we discussed this last week even. They're in trouble in terms of their rotation because they really haven't found any concrete answers at the 3 or the 4. Yusuf Nurkic coming back will help, but he only missed 2 games. You know, that wasn't the issue here. So they've got a lot more problems there because besides Grayson Allen and Eric Gordon, there hasn't been much consistency amongst that supporting cast right now. And that's someone else. That's another team's going to have to make some moves around a trade deadline. But given all that they've given up in terms of draft capital and assets,
they got nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are you going to do besides, you know, search the buyout bin once the trade deadline passes?
Yeah, no, I'm in full agreement here. It's at a point where it's going to become desperation. It seems like they lack leadership, whether it's a vocal leader on their team. You know, Chris Paul was probably that for a long time. I imagine he would have been. And, you know, that probably gets passed off to Devin Booker. Kevin Durant doesn't seem like the type that would be like that in the locker room as much. But you always look for a role player to step up too. And, you know, if you caught that during the Christmas game, Devin Booker yelling at a teammate, you're going to turn the ball over and not get back and play defense?
Yeah.
It's to the point now where you're putting people on blast and you're mic'd up. So it's getting bad in Phoenix. Dan, thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's a great point that you made that they're lacking leadership because wherever Kevin Durant's been, he's never really been that vocal, rah-rah kind of guy to kind of, you know, raise that expectation, that level of play. And I don't think he's ever really – I don't know. He's a mercenary. Like, he's a great all-time scorer, but like, I don't think he makes players better. And I think Devin Booker's still trying to figure that out as he's kind of been forced into a point guard role, because in the beginning of the season, it was supposed to be Bradley Beal primarily being the ball handler. And without him, Bradley Beal's not saving this team. So I just don't know where they go at this point. This is the most concerning team in the Western Conference right now. And like, we know Kevin Durant can get a bucket, Booker can too, but you shouldn't have to rely on Grayson Allen to keep you into that game. He's supposed to be a role player. Like, this guy was supposed to be a six-man type dude. And I think that they've been getting above expectation performance from Eric Gordon. Like, did we expect Eric Gordon to be a top 100 player at all this season? Like, so I feel like the rest of the supporting cast has done their job. It's just they don't have anything left. Like, if Durant's taking 11 shots in a game, you're going to lose. So I'm concerned. Dallas definitely owns them at this point. I'm actually more encouraged about what Luka's doing, because it seems like — I was talking on a podcast with Jake Fisher yesterday — it seems like Luka's having fun. And I think in different spurts of his career, it seemed like he was a little bit frustrated playing with Kristaps Porzingis, and he never really had that 1B to really kind of flourish off of. I don't think he really needs it right now. He's making Dante Exum look good. He's making Derek Jones Jr. look good. And Derek Lively moving up the rookie ladder. I mean, the two-man game that they've just developed now, he had a double-double, 16 and 10 points and like four blocks. I mean, I think at this point, Luka raises the floor for his teammates, and I think it's going to be a great time to like get into the Mavs market, especially when Kyrie gets back. Like, they're going to be a nice team in the playoffs. So, yeah, worried about Phoenix. Dallas looks like they're in a good spot right now, and they're winning games without all of their top players. They're not making excuses. Like, Phoenix is just a hot mess.
If I would have asked you in Christmas of 2022, would we see Dante Exum in the same Instagram post on Luka Doncic's page? On Christmas, would you have said yes? No, you wouldn't have. But he's making his teammates better. Rafael, what can we expect with Kyrie Irving when he comes back? Does Exum and these other guys flourish?
Well, Jason Kidd revealed the projected starting lineup when Kyrie returns before that game in Phoenix. Luka, Kyrie, Dante Exum starts. Derek Jones Jr. would start, and then Derek Lively the second at center. If you had your Grant Williams shares, the few of you still do, time to drop him. I think he was already at that point. But, yeah, we don't know exactly when Kyrie will return, but Grant hasn't been – I think for me personally, when I drafted him late rounds, I was expecting some three-point production, you know, maybe, you know, steal per game or something like that, and it really hasn't happened. So I think at this point you can bid farewell to him. Derek Jones Jr., if he's hovering around there, I'd pick him up because he's shooting like 40% from three. And the man has never been this good from three in his career. I think I'm about like four attempts per game. You add his ability as a finisher, being able to play off of Luka and then eventually Kyrie as well. That's someone you want to grab. I think I would go for him before I would go for Exum, even though Exum has been playing good basketball of late.
Anything to add, Dan?
No, I think that they're both guys that you need to add right now. And I'd say like even Tim Hardaway Jr., you know, is playing his way into sixth man of the year. I think he's worthy of being rostered in 12 team leagues too for how he's playing. And fun fact, didn't know that he leads the league in charges drawn.
Yeah, like he does.
So weird. And he was even top 10 last year. Yeah. So I don't know, man. I think that this team is surprisingly built really well and structured really well to actually win and make a run for it here. So I think it's just so weird how in fantasy basketball now that Dante Exum and Derek Jones Jr. are guys that we're talking about like holding on to for the foreseeable future. It's crazy.
Yeah, things can change in the blink of an eye. If you guys didn't see, Andre Drummond just dropped 2020 the other day.
I'm sure we're gonna get to him.
We'll get to that. Yeah.
Okay. So I can't wait for 2 weeks when he's back to 0 points and three rebounds. But yeah, we'll enjoy it now. A couple of teams to talk about before we talk Pacers and Jazz and their rotations. I want to head to San Antonio with you guys. All right, Rafael, I want to kick it to you because San Antonio, not as bad as Detroit, their situation, of course. Yeah. They put Keldon Johnson on the bench. Two games off the bench now, 21 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. Pretty impressive. Wemby also came back from a sprained ankle, 15 points, 7 rebounds, 5 blocks, 4 assists in just 24 minutes. Did a little bit of everything. What do you like about San Antonio, and what are you looking on the waiver wire?
Keldon Johnson has been one of the biggest fantasy surprises in the league thus far for me. He's someone that you would think like top 125, top 150 in that range. He's been close to like a top 50 player this year. And I don't think anyone expected that from him. The bench role, I don't believe that's going to hurt him too much. Just because getting away from Wemby and Vassell for as many minutes as they all shared the court when they were all starters, maybe gives him a little more time to serve as that primary scorer because you aren't going to get too much in the way of defensive production from him. So you really need the scoring and the percentages to be up to par. He's averaging 0.9 steals, which isn't terrible, but I don't see him as a player who's going to push that into one steal per game. So I think the way that he's playing right now, six-man role could be effective for him. Wemby upcoming back-to-back, he's not going to play one of those two. They haven't said which one yet, but I don't know. I think you're going to get good value from him. It's just that, how much are the Spurs going to play around with his minutes and availability once it becomes obvious that they have no chance of being a play-in tournament team, which we're probably at that point already. But you know what I'm saying? Like trade deadline, that's when these decisions really get made.
Yeah, and just piggyback off of that point too. just makes the Chet Holmgren Rookie of the Year case even stronger down the stretch, because you know the Thunder going to be in position. Yeah. So, Dan, what would you like to add about the San Antonio Spurs?
I'm not as high on Keldon Johnson as Raf is. I mean, I feel like he's playing well above expectation in terms of fantasy. Like, he's a top 100 player, but he's not top 50.
Yeah, I misspoke on that. He was like top. I think there was a period of time where he was there, but I apologize for that. That was a mistake.
So let me ask you this, Dan, real quick.
I had to say that.
buy low, sell high option here, Keldon Johnson.
Sell high. Sell high. Sell high. Yeah. Because, like, I feel like he's one of those guys with the San Antonio Spurs not really going anywhere. He's probably going to be a trade candidate at some point. I don't know where he's going to go necessarily, whether that means a contender or whatever. But, I mean, his numbers are fine. I think it's more so about, like, he's assisting more than he has in the past. So he's up to, like, almost 4 assists a game. He still doesn't do anything for you stock-wise. He's still under a steal per game and barely blocks anything. And his field goal percentage is pretty much where it was last year. He's scoring less. So that's probably the Wemby effect. And if he's not giving me 20 points, I don't know. I know that I'm that interested in him. So I would probably take this time as he's playing well, sell high, get what you can. I don't think that just with the name alone, I don't know how much you're going to really get from him, but you might be able to get, you know, a top 80 player, top 70. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Any disagreements from that, Raphael? You agree sell high?
No, I'm fine with that. I think what I would add is that the unpredictable way in which they're handling Wembanyama's minutes kind of leaves you in a tough spot with Zach Collins. I think someone when he moves to the bench, it's like automatic drop. But now it's like, all right, bad luck with spraining the ankle, stepping on a ball boy's foot. Now we don't know if he's – now you're probably not going to play both ends of the upcoming back-to-back. Collins going to be in that yo-yo role, and it's like – what do? You just give up, or do you hold on to him? Because obviously the way that waivers work, you can't drop him and pick him up the next night because he's not going to be eligible. So I think that's the unfortunate part of this from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, I'm holding him for now, mainly just because, like, the Wemby insurance. But talk to me in 3 days and he puts up, you know, 6 points, 4 rebounds again, and he'll probably be on waiver. But to that, there's another player on the Spurs that I think is starting to pique my interest, and I see his roster shifts up by 5%. It's Jeremy Sochan, and I'm wondering, is it time to give him a shot again? Like, he's been putting up, you know, some pretty decent numbers. He's been hitting his threes the last couple of games, playing more efficiently. I just don't know, you know, he's been as frustrating as any other player on the Spurs, right? Like, Trey Jones has had moments, and then he drops to nothing. Is this a situation you're going to probably want to avoid, or are you going to hop on while he's hot right now?
Yeah, we don't believe you. You need more people.
Yeah, I like Jeremy Sochan. Like, I'm a big Baylor Bears supporter in college basketball, and I thought he's a perfect fit for that system. Rebounds, assists, he can get to the rack. But yeah, Dan, you noted he's hitting his threes lately. The last two games, it's a very small sample size. Went 3 of 4 and 4 of 6 from three. But before that, I mean, the dude was shooting like 25-26% on the month. So, we'll have to monitor that. You said piques my interest. I agree. It's peaking. We'll see if it – yeah, we'll see. It's like a stock. It's going to go back down probably. Raphael, let's talk – what'd you say?
I'd watch list.
Watch list them. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, 13.7 boards – 4 assists. I mean, that's not bad over his last 30 minutes per game. I'm just saying, it's worth a back end depth.
Yeah, man, I need to see a bit more, especially you cite the 3-point shooting. But no.
He was 9 of 26 from the field for 23 total points in 3 games before the last two. So we want to see more. But how about the Indiana Pacers, the Utah Jazz? They got some interesting things happening in the rotations. Maybe not as interesting teams, gentlemen. We can all agree on that. The Pacers got Smith and Nesmith in, Hilton Toppin to the bench. Dan, what do you make of this situation here? Anyone worth picking up?
I think Nesmith is probably worth a look. probably only deep leagues at this point, though, because he doesn't really do – he's kind of inconsistent, too. Like, sometimes he'll rebound, have, like, a low-end double-double type potential, but then other times he'll just kind of disappear. I think that's just the frustration you have dealing with Rick Carlisle and these fluctuating rotations. So a little bit concerned about Buddy Hield, though. Like, it's that's definitely not a good look that he's being sent to the bench again. Ben Mathurin, same thing. So I just – at this point, if Andrew Nembhard and Naismith are going to be starting along with Jalen Smith, as gross as it sounds, like I feel like if Jalen Smith can hold it, I feel like he probably offers the best fantasy outlook just because of what he can do from rebounding, blocks, as well as making threes. Like he's a pretty good shooter for his size when given minutes. So if he's getting the minutes now, I'd be interested in him in a deeper, you know, 12 to 14 league team league. But not buying into Nembhard, and Naismith is like a waiting. I put Naismith on the watch list, but I'd probably add Jalen Smith in a deeper league.
Rafael, are you Buddy Hill's agent? Because him going to the bench, he's getting ready for that trade deadline. Your phone just rang there. So what's going on?
No.
Sam's on the line.
Yeah.
We got any breaking news?
Getting him moved. No, but I think another name to watch would be Isaiah Jackson. Because if you're starting Smith next to Miles Turner, that frees up more minutes for Isaiah as that backup center. He played 20 minutes on Tuesday. And I think he's someone that if he can get to 20 minutes, the field goal percentage and blocks potential makes him worth a look, especially in deep leagues. So I think that's someone that I would keep an eye on these next few games, especially if the Pacers can defend a little bit better. I thought they did a good job against Houston. I think Houston was like 5 for 24 from three or something like that on Tuesday. So if they can defend at a better level, which is the big reason why these changes were made, Isaiah Jackson may be back on the fantasy radar.
I was pretty surprised the Pacers won that game, to be honest with you. Thought the Rockets had that one in the bag at certain points. But yeah, very, very intriguing things happening in Indiana here. Dan, anything worth adding before we talk about Jordan Clarkson in the Utah rotation?
You ready? No, we can move. Let's just talk about the Jazz, man, because I feel like the Jazz are another team. I was listening to Mark Stein's podcast, and it sounds like, you know, Danny Ainge had different expectations coming into the season, and now that their team is awful, they could be sellers at the trade deadline. So I think it's going to be a really interesting team to monitor here. And there's probably some stashing appeal on players like, you know, Chris Dunn. I mean, maybe even the rookies start getting on the watch list here. You know, the Taylor Hendrixes of the world. Jordan Clarkson, you know, he's probably rostered in most leagues. So, like, I think, you know, you got to ride the heater. Even though he's coming off the bench, he's playing well. Keontae George came back. So I think that's another player that I would definitely be monitoring for the long term if the Utah Jazz become sellers. But it's really the front court to me that's a bit frustrating, and it's really John Collins now. Like, he came over from Atlanta expecting to get like a new opportunity. He played really well for the first 2 months of the season, and now he's kind of back to this, like, is he into it? He's not really playing consistent. I have him in a couple spots and I'm like trying to offload him, but he's playing so bad, like there's no trade market for him right now, so I probably missed that window. But I just want to know, get your guys' thoughts on that. Like, what is Utah going to do? I don't think they're going to trade Lauri Markkanen. Like, I think it's going to take a king's ransom for that.
Yeah.
But everybody else to me seems kind of expendable outside of Keontae George and some of the young guys. But, you know, what are your guys' thoughts?
I feel like Kelly Olynyk is going to be a name to watch in this time for the trade deadline for sure. We see some of these teams with a dire need for help at center because of injuries. He's someone that could be on the market that I think would probably be on the market given how they performed. And I don't think they're going to be anywhere near play-in tournament spot. So he's one name I'd watch. I don't know if he'd be able to move Clarkson. And the thing about the other guards is that while they've certainly played well, especially like a Colin Sexton, I don't know if they'd be able to move them for good value in return. So I think I'm with Dan in terms of the frustration of the front court because Taylor Hendricks was playing well. Now that everybody's back, he only played 2 minutes on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I know you got a lottery pick. You're going to have to free up time for him at some point. So I think if I'm looking at anywhere on that rotation, I think at least one of the bigs is going to be out of there by the trade deadline, just to make sure they can get him more minutes. Because the guards, oh man, besides Keyonte George, like, what can you really get from those guys, you know, trade wise?
Yeah. And now Talen Horton Tucker is out of the rotation. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So
his value is gone.
I don't know. If anything, I would expect them to be auditioning those guys, you know, more, mm-hmm. and then like Keyonte Rock later. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with that Will Hardy situation. How he's trying to, I don't know, he's pulling these Monty Williams type of rotational tricks here, man. It's worse. I can't. It's so frustrating.
They they have won the last three games though, Utah, four of the last five. So. True. Mm-hmm. They're starting to figure something out a little bit, at least. I mean, Laurie Markkanen come back has helped, but they have reports early in the season, four or five first round picks for Laurie Markkanen. Nah, that's not happening. I'll agree with Raphael here. Kelly Olynyk probably seems like the best trade option. Chris Dunn's probably the second best in terms of a contender. John Collins, who knows what's going to happen with this guy? Strikes me as a guy that needs to be on a winning team to really be invested in playing on a nightly basis.
What do you guys feel like Olynyk possibly going to, like, the Lakers? I feel like that's, like, a good fit behind AD, right? Like, a versatile guy that can shoot, stretch the floor, but also play defense, kind of scrappy, high IQ guy. Hard. Yeah, he'll play hard.
Shane Battier. Yeah, exactly. But he's no Shane Battier, but he's going to play, like, that Shane Battier-esque role LeBron when he was in Miami. Yeah, I like that. Raphael, you too?
Yeah, but I just wonder. I think that feels like a third team, like a three-team deal, because I don't know if Utah would be interested in like a Christian Wood or Jackson Hayes, and that's pretty much because the Lakers need to get those dudes up out of there too.
You don't trade Vando back to Utah. Like, that's
probably
not that's not happening. No. He's not agreeing to that.
They actually need him. So, yeah.
That is true. They need him too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's true. You guys know what the people need, though? People need the Roto-World
draft. They need a promo. Yeah.
They need a promo because it's time to move along. This holiday season, it's the fantasy fan in your life, like Raphael. Exclusive Roto-World draft guide bundle featuring expert analytics, player insights, and season-long tools, baby. Get all three of the draft guides for one low price. Go to NBCSports.com/holiday bundle and use code HOLIDAY23 at checkout to receive 25% off and a $10 Fanatics gift card. Let's talk about some weird injury news. Because this is the subject we're on now is injury, everybody. We got to talk about the Hornets. We got to talk about the Grizzlies and why John Morant's the MVP right now. All jokes aside. And then we also got to talk about Aaron Gordon getting bit by a dog. Upwards of 20 stitches. Weird situation. Raphael, how does that affect his team's lineup right now?
Well, as we've seen in the past, when he's been out, Justin Holiday has moved into the starting lineup. So I believe that's going to be the case for the foreseeable future. Outside of three-pointers and steals, I don't really know if you can rely on Holiday for too much in a way of fantasy production. But it may be worth the roll of the dice in deep leagues. It feels like they're still waiting for Peyton Watson and Christian Brown to truly step up and be consistent options. I don't know if either of them would be, you know, in contention to start, I mean, as opposed to staying in their current roles. So I think Justin Holiday is a spot starter, deep leagues, but even then, I don't know if he's a must add by any stretch.
Yeah, wouldn't categorize him as a must add. Dan, how about you? What are you looking at?
Peyton Watson's always been intriguing to me because he just offers so much defensively, and the times that I've seen him play, like I feel like he's like one of those glue guys where he just makes the right cuts, he makes the right basketball decisions. But I'm with Raph in regards to I don't know that they're ready to just thrust him into a starting role yet. I think Justin Holiday makes sense. Zeke Nagy's also gotten minutes, you know, in the rotation in these spots, so. I don't know that there's an immediate add here. I feel like this is going to be a committee situation that Mike Malone's going to have to like work through. I am curious though of the timeline of Aaron Gordon's injury because it's like so obscure, like, and not that many details have really come out about it. Like, so I don't know. Hopefully he gets better soon. I got him on a couple spots on my fantasy team, so selfishly I would like to see a quicker return than most. But yeah, just hope that he's all right. Sounds like that's a pretty vicious. I don't know. I've never been bitten by a dog, but getting in the face sounds awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it was in the face too. Mm-hmm. Yikes.
Yeah. Face in his shooting hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So I saw the hand there. I didn't see the face though. That is, wow. Yeah. That's definitely gotta be painful. So yeah, we hope Aaron Gordon recovers quickly, there. And Peyton Watson, definitely intriguing option, like you said, Dan, because he scored 10 or more points in four straight until the past three. So let's see if he gets a couple more minutes here and gets back to that 10-plus points per game average he's putting up. Nikola Vucevic, my guy on the Bulls, missed his first game in almost 2 years. So what are we going to be doing with the Chicago rotation? Dan, I'll start with you. And Coby White, his rostership has to be above like 70% now. Am I right?
Oh yeah, Kobe's rest of the season, like keep him around, mm-hmm. trade for him. I can't implore you enough to do whatever you need to do to get shares of Coby White.
He's playing the best basketball of his life.
The further this Zach LaVine thing goes, you know, the Bulls are 9-5 without LaVine. So I think it's pretty clear that we can win with Coby White running the show. So I'm a Coby White stan, definitely all in on him. Going back to Vooch, looks like he's gonna be missing 7 to 10 days with a groin injury. So it's Andre Drummond season, y'all. I know you're ready for it. Coming off a 2020 game. I know this is what we want to see, but I mean, I think there's at least streaming appeal for the next, you know, give or take three games over the next week. So yeah, go get Andre Drummond if he's sitting out on waivers. Definitely going to be good for rebounds, field goal percentage, probably get some stocks in there too. I think he had 5 last night on Tuesday. So yeah, Andre Drummond's definitely the add here. And then also, I would say Patrick Williams, he's so inconsistent, but like he has these runs where as long as LaVine is out, and I think I've said it here before, like he plays pretty well.
Yeah.
I would keep him on a watch list on like some deep, you know, 12, 14 team league stash type stuff, because he still does things that are relevant for fantasy. He's good defensively, shoots threes, not a heavy rebounder, but can still, you know, put in work there. So if Vooch is out, I still feel like he's still probably going to get some of that production when Vooch is out. So just keep an eye on him as well.
Yeah, definitely like the Paul. I'm a big fan of him as all around game. I think he's only going to get better here in Chicago. And yeah, Coby White, super impressive right now. If anything, Rafael, I think it's shown that Chicago now could probably keep DeMar DeRozan around a little bit longer if they like to, because he fits in with them still, and they can try and get as much as possible back for Zach LaVine and try and salvage a season and make a playoff run. That's what I'm getting as a Bulls fan from them. Do I believe this will happen? Not at all. What do you make about the rotation?
I think the issue is that DeRozan has an easier contract to move than LaVine. Like LaVine still has four years left on his current deal. So we can have all the leaks that we want about wanting to go to the Lakers, but how? You know, it's
like that. D-Lo's contracts, close, but not quite enough.
Yeah, but, you know, I get that, but when you do that, you risk stunting what we've seen from Coby White. And I don't think the Bulls would want that, especially given the deal that they gave him, you know, last summer. But I think if anything, I think Drummond and I'm a bit higher on Patrick Williams than Dan is, just because having a second primary scoring option off the court can help him a bit more, I think. Obviously, not having Vooch does hurt Chicago, but Drummond is suitable there in that role. I think Williams can be a little bit more consistent without those guys out there, just because he'll have a better idea of where his shots are coming from with this change for the time being. Mm-hmm. That's about it in terms of ads, because I'm not adding Terry Taylor under any circumstance. I don't know I can't recall how many minutes he played last night, but he's like a 6'5". What? He's not a center, that's for damn sure. But yeah, he's going to be the back. He played 8 minutes, 4 points and 1 rebound. Made both of his shots, so you give him that much, but there's no way that they can play him as a backup center. Like, that's almost as far-fetched as Tibbs saying that he could play Josh Hart at center at times. Like, no, it's not going to happen. So, yeah, Drummond, Williams, and that's pretty much it as far as ads with Vooch out.
Bring Taj Gibson back to Chicago, baby. Make it happen. I see him getting that Christmas Day action. He's getting ready.
Yeah.
That was when you called that round last week. And a fun fact here dropped from our producer, and that Kobe White holds the record for most points North Carolina high school basketball history, more than Chris Paul, Michael Jordan, a couple of good guys. But yeah, Kobe White, definitely like him. I think he could be a 20 points per game scorer if he gets the opportunity for the rest of the season. But will he?
If I'm not mistaken, he broke the record held by one Jameson Curry. If you remember Oklahoma State guard.
Yeah.
In the early 2000s. Yeah. I believe he's the one who held the record. So yeah. Kobe's a bucket. Impressive.
Kobe is a bucket, man.
And Jordan didn't get burned until, like, what, his junior year? So I'm sure Kobe
he made sure to tell us all that in his Hall of Fame speech, too.
Oh, my God. I got to watch that now after the show. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Are you a LeBron guy, Raph?
I'm not, but we can talk about that once we get off the air.
I like that. All right, we'll stick in Jordan's place here, Charlotte, North Carolina. Gordon Hayward, LaMelo, Mark Williams, all these guys banged up. Charlotte's lost 8 straight, 10 of the past 11, Dan. What do we make of the situation? Is anyone to add on this dreadful team?
Nick Richards is probably the best one you could do. And to be honest with you, I've been a little bit disappointed in what he's provided thus far. Definitely not putting up Mark Williams numbers. So I'd be okay if you wanted to pass on him. He's 33% rostered right now, but he's put together at least 2 double doubles or 3 of the last 4. But you know, I don't know what's going on with Mark Williams. I'm still trying to figure out like whether this is going to be like one of those Markelle Fultz situations where he's going to continue to be listed as questionable and then ruled doubtful and then eventually out every game. And they haven't really been too clear on, you know, when he's going to be coming back. So yeah, I guess you can continue to stream Nick Richards. Gordon Hayward, I think that just benefits Brandon Miller. So if he's in shallow leagues, if he's available, I would definitely scoop him up. But most of that value is probably going to go to PJ Washington, Miles Bridges, you know, those guys. So, I think Nick Richards is probably the ad for me after saying all that. And then look around for Brandon Miller if you got a chance.
Yeah, we've already beat the drum on Brandon Miller how many times, so more than likely the viewers should have Brandon Miller. Raphael, you agreeing with Richards and Miller, though?
Yeah, Miller missed the game against the Clippers, so hopefully he'll be back in short order. Like the last time he sprained his ankle was a one-game absence, so I would expect him to be back. Thinking long-term, I would consider Nick Smith Jr. He's played pretty well recently. He went off in the fourth quarter of that game against Denver on Saturday. You're not going to get much right now. Like, let's be honest about the fantasy production, but I think he's someone that once you get to February, March, that point on, they're going to want to see if what they have in him even more than they have recently, just because you basically burned a lottery pick on James Bouknight. Like, he's not even playing at all at this point. So
yeah, he stinks.
I think you really want to avoid getting into that situation with another lottery guard. Maybe even see how he works at the point, because we've seen LaMelo these last couple seasons deal with injuries. I don't know if Nick Smith Jr. would be a point guard per se, but see what you have there in terms of another potential playmaker. So I don't even know if I would stash him right now, but I think he's someone I would add to your deep league watch list. Just in case some things change with that rotation as the season wears on here.
Say late January, early February, Raphael is probably silly season, right? Silly season.
A little bit after that, you know, after the trade deadline. But, I think they're not going anywhere, you know, so.
Charlotte's not going anywhere, that's for sure. A team that is going somewhere, though, Memphis Grizzlies. John Morant back 4-0 in his return, baby. Let's go. 28.8 points per game, 8.5 assists, and 5.3 rebounds, doing a little bit of everything. Marcus Smart return on Tuesday. Raphael, what do we make it about the rotation quickly? Is there anyone to pick up?
I don't think there's anyone to pick up, just because those three guys, we talk about Morant, Smart, Desmond Bain, already going to be rostered. You know, I think you may want to check to make sure that Bismack Biyombo isn't available. He's only at 7%, so he's someone that you can find. I don't think you're going to get too much in the way of production, but if you need rebounding in a pinch, he could be someone to look for. But that's about it, because I don't see Vince Williams Jr. being a factor now that he's coming off the bench again. Santi Aldama kind of feels like the ship has sailed on him as well. Could be worth a look in really deep leagues, but yeah, I don't think there's anyone that you're going to rush out to add right now.
Dan, in agreeance there?
Yeah, I think now that Smart and Moran are back, whatever usage or production you were thinking you were going to get out of anyone else in the backcourt is certainly not there. And then, you know, in the front court, yeah, if you're in desperate need for Biombo, sure, but I would rather go for someone like Andre Drummond if he's out there. Biombo wouldn't be my first choice, but yeah, at this point, I feel like the Grizzlies have their main squad back. So, you know, if you waited it out for John Morant, congrats, man. He's been hooping. Hopefully he just stops with the silliness, the antics, baiting the NBA and Adam Silver. But yeah, man, I think that there's actually a chance, man. Like looking at the standings, I know we laughed you off the stage, Vaughn, about Ja potentially getting MVP. They're five games out on the play-in tournament right now. Who's to say that they can't make a little playoff run there if it gets crazy?
No,
I'm not going to even like get into this.
That's a different conversation. Getting into the play-in is a different conversation than being an MVP candidate.
They're in the dumpster. This squad was going nowhere.
But didn't they add like the games played requirement too? I don't know how that works with suspensions, but he's not going to hit 65 games. So
that's a good point too.
I mean, he only missed 20. Yeah.
Yeah, but he only 57 max.
True.
That's fair.
He's been outstanding. You know, that player of the week award was definitely deserved, but I can't put him in the MVP chatter, even if there wasn't like a games played requirement.
Yeah, that's an interesting point you make. I definitely thought value wise, obviously, John Morant's going to be a good play before he came back, but he's not even offered at the sports books I'm looking right now. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think Rafael, you just made a good point. He can't even win the award technically. I'm sure they were taking money on him though up until that point, until he started playing, because that's what they do. But that's a different conversation.
I wouldn't tell anybody.
That's another conversation for another day. All right. On the other side of this break, we got buy low, sell high options, talking Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, and a couple other guys. And then we'll also get to our remainder of the week 10 schedule. Week 10, 10 weeks in the NBA already, guys. Man, time flies when you're having fun. And that's what we're doing here on this show. I think so. That's what Dan says, at least. Rafael, I can't tell yet. All right. Find another way to celebrate the holiday season by being a part of the Premier League festive fixtures. We're in the midst of a 13-day stretch, 29 matches on NBC, USA, and Peacock. So make sure to check out all the thrilling moments, from creative set pieces to scorching shots and amazing saves. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And I'm in the soccer mood. I got the hat on. Couldn't name you one player, but I'm in the mood to watch some soccer.
How did you even cop a Juventus hat if you don't even know?
Every Saturday, now it's been Fridays for the most part, college football show on the NBC Sports YouTube channel. My guy Brad Thomas asked me, who's your favorite NBA team? I said Chicago Bulls. And then like 3-4 days later, I have a Juventus hat in the mail and it says, Merry Christmas, brother. Love you. And I was like, wow, the Bulls must really suck. I like it though. Black and white rocks with the outfit. So I appreciate my guy, Brad. Love him. I love working with him. Love working with you guys too. And you guys make me money in fantasy. Hopefully we'll see what happens in the season. So I don't have Jalen Green in any leagues, Rafael. If I did, should I be dropping him or trading him?
See, you can't trade him at this point. If you find a willing sucker to do it, go ahead and do it.
Sucker. But,
am I lying?
He's being honest.
I think the biggest concern, you know, beyond the inefficiency, is that Ime Udoka seems about done with it all. Like, his minutes have decreased by the game. He only played 20 minutes on Tuesday. It's quite clear that he trusts Aaron Holiday more than Jalen Green. I don't know if this will lead to him being pulled from the starting lineup at a certain point, but poor shooting, doesn't offer much defensively.
Nothing.
Good luck getting a return on him. Hey, bro, man. Like, I don't even know how you'd like formulate a trade offer where you're trying to move Jalen Green. Be like the dude trying to give away double cheeseburgers in menace to society. Like, okay. Like, I'm good on that. Like, I'm sorry, man. That's how bad it has been. Like, I'm sorry, man.
Jalen Green trade situation probably sounds like you missed picking up Andre Drummond. And you're like, man, I just got to get rid of this guy. And you trade for Andre Drummond.
That's literally what you're doing. You're dropping Jalen Green for Andre Drummond right now. Mm-hmm. That's the move you're making. That's how bad it is for him.
Five straight games, he's went down in minutes, like Rafael said. So, Dan, I mean, you're obviously in agreement with that, it sounds like.
Yeah, I just dropped him in a 12-team league. I didn't feel great about it, but then I looked at the numbers, and like if you just watch them play, his role in that offense was to make shots, and he's just not making anything. And his handle hasn't really improved that much. Like, he only has one speed getting to the rim. He's very defendable. And at this point, if you're not going to do anything outside of that, like hustle plays, you know, locking in on defense, you're going to get benched. And to be benched for Aaron Holiday, I think is pretty telling. And it's not a disrespect to Aaron Holiday because he's playing very well. Yeah. But I think it is it's an aha moment for the Rockets to be like, I think we messed up with this pick. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'm looking at Cam Whitmore cooking in G League. I'm like, give him a shot at this point if you want, you know, another guy to come in there and do something different. And Dylan Brooks left the game with an injury. It doesn't look to be long term, but I'd be concerned if I have Jalen Green. I would drop him right now, let somebody else deal with it. If he rights the ship and all of a sudden starts hitting shots, then, oh, well, you know, that's fantasy. Yeah. But you're not really missing out on that much because he really is only there to score. And if he's not doing that, he's not doing anything for you. So move on. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, and there should be no offense taken, Dan, to what you said, because Jalen Green is a 21-year-old in the second year of a rebuilding team, getting the minutes needed to get better. Whereas Aaron Holiday in his fifth team in the last 5 years at 27,
it's you should be able to. It's a trust factor, right?
Yeah, exactly. He trusts him more. He trusts Holiday more than Green at this point. How about Dylan Brooks? Injured during the Tuesday loss. Tari Eason time, Rafael? Huh?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that, I think like
the only issue is that he's been dealing with a lower leg injury. For quite some time now, and he is questionable for tonight's game, Wednesday night's game, I should say, against the Suns. So that would be the one thing you're worried about in terms of like injury management days and whatnot. But when he's out there, the man's just a ball of energy. You know, we've seen him attack the boards as a rebounder, especially offensive rebounding, can get you defensive stats. You know, every once in a while, if he gets enough putback attempts, the field goal percentage could suffer a little bit. But I think the positives outweigh the negatives here. Will he start if, you know, Brooks has to miss time? I think that's the one question. And I think Eason's availability comes into play there. But even if he continues to come off the bench, I'm all in on Tari Eason until we get Dylan Brooks back and maybe even after Brooks returns too.
Yeah, Tari Eason is just an interesting prospect, you know, 6'8", like 215, 220. Doesn't really look like a forward, can move a little bit like a guard. But when he was at LSU, I was a fan of him because he transferred there, been leading the team in points and rebounds. Yeah. So, yeah, you know he's going to be able to fill in somewhere. So I like that. Dan, you feel the same way about Tari Eason?
Yeah, I don't care that he may miss tonight's game. He's a must-add for me, just for what he's been doing in the limited time that he has been getting minutes. I think this is a player that Ime Udoka can deploy to guard multiple positions, and he does a lot in terms of his hustle plays. Like, he makes winning plays, and I think that's the type of scrappiness you need in a defense like this. So I feel like he's just earning his keep, and the more minutes he gets, as long as he's playing over 20 minutes, man, I'd feel good starting him. He's pretty much like a forward version of Alex Caruso. But just like if he gets more minutes, he's going to be even better because he can get the rebounds and the points as well. So, yeah, start Tari Eason. I think right now he's what is he? He's 55% rostered, but, you know, maybe that comes down a little bit if he doesn't play on Wednesday night. maybe someone drops them in a panic, mm-hmm. scoop them up.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening too. Starting to heat up, man. It's 10 weeks into the season now. You got to win. Some people are from playing from behind. If you have Derek White, you're probably not playing from behind. He's definitely been having a great season so far. Are we approaching a time where we should be looking to trade him, Rafael, especially with Porzingis back?
I'm ashamed to say that I have Derek White rostered. I am playing from behind in my league right now. So, but yeah, he's been outstanding all year. Like, I don't know if he's going to maintain like top 25 value, but I think he's safe for top 50, to be honest with you. Given everything he brings defensively, he's an efficient offensive player. And being able to play off of the stars that they have in that rotation, I don't see much of a drop-off coming. So, yeah, I would hold on to Derek White and just, you know, hopefully he can be a key portion of a championship-winning fantasy roster.
I believe that. Probably fantasy championship winner and possibly NBA yeah. championship mm-hmm. winner. Derek yeah. White, put some respect on his name. Dan, what you think? So, hi, Dan. Hold on.
No, I would hold him because like Derek White's one of these cheat codes in fantasy basketball where it's like there's not many guards that can do everything. And I'm talking offensively and defensively here. And he's one of the best blocking guards in the league. So that alone makes him more valuable to me than the average guard. Yeah. If I'm Raf, though, I would be looking to sell because I feel like you could probably give him to a contending team and probably get a substantial haul for him just given mm-hmm. how well he's playing right now. I just don't know what that market looks like and how much you would have to make a really creative trade with probably a couple yeah. of assets to kind of, you know, give you that boost of, you know, jumping up the standings. But I'd be curious. That's a fun exercise. Like I would actually mm-hmm. want to. I don't think any of the teams that I have that are that bad don't have a good player like that. So like, I don't really have that situation. But yeah, it's an interesting thought exercise of like, how can I leverage the way this guy's playing and get a couple more assets to kind of, you know, boost that value.
Yeah, you don't want to get in the habit either of trading too much because it could ruin an yeah. entire team, which is something mm-hmm. I had to learn the hard way. but you know, we make mistakes and we learn from them. How about Bogdanovic? DeAndre Hunter got an injury, Rafael. Is it time to hold on to Bogdan, sell high?
Ooh, that's a good question because Hunter's injury comes at the same time as Jalen Johnson's return, and Jalen's been a stud when healthy this year. In terms of Bogdan, yeah, I think I would consider selling high, but I don't think it's something that I would be locked into doing. Like, he's a top 50 player. Under normal circumstances, I'd probably want to hold on to someone like that, but he's shooting well above what we expected from him in a fantasy standpoint. So I think I can definitely see both arguments here. Like Dan mentioned earlier, it kind of depends on where your team is. Like, if your team's kind of scuffling and you have him, I'd be more inclined to consider trading him as opposed to a Derek White, because you kind of thought you were going to get top 75 from White to begin with. Bogdanovic, 125, I think, before the season started. So I think I'd be more inclined to kind of move him if my team needs a boost right now.
Yeah, Dan, do you agree with that? Would you be looking to move him?
I mean, he's just playing so well right now. Mm-hmm. I think I would certainly entertain it for a more consistent player. He's obviously having a career year here. He's shooting outstanding from three and is actually contributing into a couple other different categories, which I think he's really just been like a bench, you know, microwave bucket type of guy. So he's showing more this season, but I would be open to trading him for that exact reason, just because he hasn't had sustained performance like this before. That said, if you're in a contending team and, you know, you have him, I don't think there's any harm in keeping him either, because I think with this rotation, especially with DeAndre Hunter going down, there's going to be a lot of reliance on Bogdanovic, on Sadiq Bey. These guys are going to have a little bit longer staying power here. So I think it just the injury just helps everyone else around, to be honest. So if you have Sadiq Bey, I think he's around 55% rostered. I think you can hold on to him. People might have dropped him when Jalen Johnson came back. So just make sure you look out and see if he's out there, because he's still going to play, you know, north of 30 minutes a night.
Yeah, you basically know what you're getting out of Bogdan every single night. And yeah, he is shot above expectations, like Rafael said, but you expect him to be a sharp shooter there. And, you know, that something you were saying intrigued my interest because to producer Dan, I sent him an Instagram clip last week. I want to do with you guys next week if we can, or a week after that. A white elephant gift exchange on the show live, but we don't do real gifts though. We do fantasy and betting. So like, for example, Dan might get a Joel Embiid MVP ticket. Wouldn't that be a sweet gift to get for Christmas?
That would be a great, let me get some of that. Yeah.
And Rafael might get Bismack Biyombo on the waiver wire. That's what he might get. So you never know what you're going to get. But yeah, so, you know, trying to do something fun for us. And I think we might have to look into something like that here with some fantasy guys. So keep the mind rolling. And on the opposite side of this little promo, we're going to do Remainder of the Week 10 schedules back to back. Who's playing three games? Who picks up? And it's the 5-minute warning for Rafael to get us out of here. All right. Find all your favorite NBC Sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to amazon.com/NBC Sports. Find shows like the Roto World Basketball Show and all fantasy shows. All right, there's a couple teams that have three games. A lot of teams have two games. Only the Clippers play one game. So you'd probably be staying away from the LA Clippers this week in fantasy. Dan, where are we going, though, for ads this week?
One person that I'm intrigued by on the Spurs is Julian Champagne. And I'm debating whether this is like a – this is probably a more of a watch list long-term play because I think if Keldon Johnson moves on, Champagne showed a lot in the summer league that I think lends itself to be like, okay, this guy might have a future here. So that's someone that I'll be watching. He's been getting more minutes lately, and he's been doing a lot with them. So probably not a must-add right now again, just someone that I'd be watching. In terms of ads, though Kyle Kuzma is going to be could be missing tonight's game on Wednesday. I'd look at Bilal Coulibaly in case he does. You know, obviously a short term streamer there. They play three games the rest of the week. Also, the Brooklyn Nets have tons of injuries tonight. You know, they just got over their heartbreaking win over the Detroit Pistons, and all of a sudden they need to rest their whole entire squad as a result. So De'Ron Sharpe, I think, gets some short-term appeal here. Yeah. He's been getting actually more minutes off the bench, and he's double-doubled a couple times in two of his last three. So at this point, I'm not worried. If I'm a Nick Claxton manager or owner, I wouldn't be too concerned about his long-term outlook. Like, Nick Claxton's a beast. But I think De'Ron Sharpe is getting more minutes, so he's been productive, so I would definitely give him a look. Let's see. The Brooklyn Nets also play three games, so that's nice. And everybody else I feel like we probably already talked about a bunch in terms of people that have three – in terms of teams that have three games left. Maybe Lou Dort, you want to give a shout-out? No, actually, no. Josh Giddey came back, so never mind that. Yeah, I think that pretty much covers everybody we've talked about in addition to the guys we talked about before.
I wonder if we would have been talking about Alec Burks on this show if he would have banged that three against the Brooklyn Nets after Cade Cunningham scores like 10 straight points. Dude. Monty Williams. Yeah, Caden, let's go to Alec Burks. Man. Game on the line.
That's the type of stuff where I'm like, bro, that's a fireable offense. I don't care if you lost 26 games in a row. You can't just be taking out a guy that scored 37 points in the second half. Like, come on, what are you doing?
Yeah. It's just disappointing stuff. Like, I really thought that we were going to come on this show today and be like, we told
this you. This is the bet. We made the bet. It was supposed to, the streak was supposed to be over last night, man. We took them against
Jazz before Christmas and the Nets after Christmas. You know, I didn't put it out last night against the Nets, but, you know, I threw some dollars on them and I'm watching the game and I'm like, these guys are going to lose. Halfway to the second quarter, these guys are going to lose. Rafael, you're disappointed, man. What's up?
They're up 5 with 8 minutes to go. And it's like, hey, let's show everybody why we've lost 26 games in a row. Like, come on, man.
They've had it in the bag at times. They've literally had games
in the bag. You never have anything in the bag when you're that bad. Don't shoot yourself in the foot. Like, that's all you have to do. Like, between decision-making by players and then Monty, I don't know what the hell he's doing. Bro, I got 80 mil. I can do what I want. Like, you can do.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he's saying.
But at what cost? Like, but yeah, in terms of pickups, all right, Go ahead.
Did the Detroit Pistons win 10 games this year?
I think they will. It'll be close, but
I Vegas has it 9.5.
Wow.
This might be the worst team you've ever seen in our lives. Legit. Wow.
Besides that, the Charlotte Bobcats team that has the record for the lowest win percentage, but obviously that was a lockout season, so they didn't play the full 82. But
bro, they're worse than the Process Sixers. Like, that's crazy. That's so bad.
I forgot about that Bobcats team. 7 wins and 59 losses, 10% win percentage. Man, it's sad to be in the same conversation as them, Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Raphael, we're not picking up anyone on Detroit. How about the other teams?
Yeah. I know Grayson Allen's at 49% rostered, but I think at this point it's a good opportunity to grab him. They've got 3 games to play the remainder of this week. So I'd say him. I'd have Lu Dort on my watch list because he's been shooting the ball quite well. I think what he's done to this point is sustainable. It's about 41% from 3 on the season. He's clearly worked on his shot. So I think he's someone I'd keep an eye on in standard leagues. I'd certainly understand not wanting to make that leap right now because you want to see more, but I'd have him on watch list right now. Then in Dallas, you know, kind of preparing for what that lineup's going to look like once Kyrie returns. So as we said earlier, Derek Jones Jr., Dante Exum, 3 more games to play this week too. So there's an added bonus for adding those guys to your rosters.
Yeah, certainly a lot of names in Mavericks and Dallas to be playing and picking up this week. A lot of great analysis there and overall in the show. Dan, anything you want to add before we peace out?
No, I think just want to reiterate picking up Torian Prince because the Lakers play. Is it the 3 Lakers? Games. Yeah, they got 3 games. Yeah. And they're all in streamable days too. So, pick up Torian Prince too if he's out there.
All right. Raphael, you want to give everyone some happy holiday wishes before we get out of here?
Enjoy the final days of 2023.
Yes, they were good to all of us. As you can tell. make sure you remember when picking certain players up on New Year's Day, some of the guys may be having a good night out the night before, a la James Harden. Yeah. Where are the Clippers playing?
Good
Clippers
point.
Are in L.A. They're playing Miami, but they're in L.A. See, if that was in Miami –
yeah, oh, it was a wrap. Definitely a Miami money line on that game for sure.
So make sure you guys are thinking about that type of stuff as well. And thinking about us on next Wednesday when we come back here to give you guys more breakdowns on who to pick up in fantasy and who to let go. It's Raphael Johnson of NBAC Sports, Dan Titus of Yahoo Sports, and myself, Von Delzell of Yahoo Sports. Thank you for all you guys watching at home. Thank you, producer Adam, for holding us down as always. And maybe next week we'll be exchanging some gifts. We'll see what happens, gentlemen. See you then.